All right, last time we started looking at Daniel chapter 1, we got down through verse number 8. We talked about the defeat of Jerusalem in verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar coming down, besieging Jerusalem in three different stages, 605 B.C., 597 B.C., 586 B.C., and each time carrying away captives. You could call them kidnapped people. But he especially wanted some young people, a group of teenagers that could be trained, brainwashed, and used in the king's court. We saw, again, number one, the defeat of Jerusalem, verse one. Number two, the desecration of the temple in verse number two. And last time we looked at number three, the demands of the king, verses three through seven. Nebuchadnezzar was looking for choice young men to occupy positions in Babylon, and he wanted some with no physical blemishes. He wanted those who were intelligent, knowledgeable, and quick to learn. So he wanted to work on their physical appearance if necessary, their mental ability, as well as teaching them socially how to go into Babylon and be able to do the work in the king's court without embarrassing the king. That's one thing you didn't want to do, is embarrass the king. Then we started looking at ways that Nebuchadnezzar used to re-educate the boys. We talked about goal number one, change their way of thinking. Change their way of thinking. One of the main scriptures in Romans 12 is verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Why? Because Satan loves to mess with our minds. And so we are to be dedicated to having God conform us to the image of his Son through the Word of God. And a lot of that can be hindered, some of that can be hindered if we don't think right. And we mentioned Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, talked about what things we should think on, things that are holy and good and just and pure. Then also, number two, he desired to change their way of worship. To change their way of worship. He did that, first of all, by changing their names. And we're not going to go through those again, but he changed their names from godly Hebrew names to Babylonian names that elevated false gods rather than the one true God. So he desired to change their way of worship, to get them to think differently, to worship differently, and then he wanted to change their way of living, and that has to do with the social side of things. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do in our lives, change our patterns of living and thinking to render us ineffective for God. He can't, once we're saved, he can't unsave us, can he? Possess us. Once we're saved, we're possessed by the Holy Spirit, if you please. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God and the spirit of evil, Satan or demons, cannot coexist within a person. And he can influence us if we allow him to. But he cannot possess us, though there are some Christians that teach the opposite of that. Wouldn't be a very powerful God if we can be possessed by the devil after we're saved. Wouldn't be a very powerful new birth experience if after being born into God's family, indwelt by the Spirit of God, we're baptized into the Spirit, we are one with Christ, and then to be possessed by the devil? No. That leads us to number four, the determination of the children. The determination of the children. That's verse number eight, the determination of the children. This is the verse that we ended with last time. But Daniel purposed in his heart, he determined in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, who was Ashpenaz, that he might not defile himself. Now, what the king wanted to do is change their diets. He wanted them to eat his food because he felt like, well, if if they eat my food, I have the finest food available. And so they're going to be strong and they're going to be healthy. It's going to help them in every way. And so he instructed Ashpenaz. He said, look, I want these young teenagers, 14 to 17 years old, I want them to be fed the choicest foods and the best wine we have. Now, Jews drank wine. The water wasn't fit to drink, and it was very diluted, extremely diluted. Now, the Babylonians, on the other hand, their wine would have been considered strong drink. Excuse the coffee this morning, but water's not cutting it, literally, the phlegm. So I'm hoping it'll help me not cough. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it. See, it just broke out loose. One sip. Now, Daniel's determination, of course, spread out to the other boys. Now, I want you to think about something. We hear a lot about peer pressure in schools today, don't we? Of course, peer pressure is everywhere. Adults also are under peer pressure at work, right? Families. You have a big family gathering at Christmas time, and you got relatives that drink and relatives that party, and you know it doesn't fit in with the child of God that's to abstain from every appearance of evil. Takes it further than not being involved with the evil. God said, I don't even want you around it. I don't want you to appear that you might be partaking in this evil. So what I'm trying to say is, why don't we offer, rather than giving into negative peer pressure, why don't we adults and the children in school that know the Lord, why don't they exhibit positive peer pressure? In other words, there's no reason for the child of God to be influenced negatively by peer pressure that's against the Lord. That's what Daniel did. Daniel was just a teenager, 14 to 17 years old. He said, I am not going to defile myself. I am determined, I have purpose in my heart, I am resolved that I will not eat this king's food that is not kosher. And I am not going to drink the wine that the Babylonians offer because it's strong drink. And I've been taught better than that at home, and I'm not going to do it because I am walking with God and I desire to serve God and honor God. His friends then saw what Daniel was doing, and they also determined, we're not going to eat it either. And we're not going to drink it. So again, wouldn't it be great if we would focus on that as parents and grandparents, teaching our children and grandchildren, you know what, you don't have to give in. Everybody made fun of Nancy Reagan. Remember when she said, just say no? You remember that, her drug initiative? Just say no. Sounds pretty sensible to me. Hey, you want to try this joint? It's good stuff. No. Hey, you want this heroin? It's, man, I'll tell you what, puts you in another world. It's awesome. You want to try it? No. And if our young people had that kind of influence in a godly way, if they're Christians. So they were determined. Daniel was faithful. He influenced his friends for good. He wouldn't eat what was offered to gods as well as that which was not kosher, because Daniel determined, I'm not disobeying the word of God. Now, we're entering into a new year, aren't we? Tomorrow, 2018. Why don't we determine right now, here and now, Lord, as you enable me, and he will, I don't want to defile myself this year. I want to remain pure and holy and useful for the glory of God. I want to influence others positively that they might come to know the God I know. Now, what's wrong with that commitment for 2018? Positive peer pressure. Someone has said, I don't know who said it, I wrote it down, Daniel translated convictions into consistent actions. It's one thing to say, I have biblical convictions. Well, that's great. That's a start. But they are of no value whatsoever if we don't put them into consistent action. Are they? Now remember, this is Sunday school. I'm getting all kinds of preachy. So anytime you want to question answered, or you want to add a thought or observation, you just say it. You don't even have to raise your hand. Okay? Isn't that great? You guys are frozen still, aren't you? Fred, are you feeling better?
Better, thank you.
Good. How's Anna today? I know she's here. Is she
still got the coughing pretty bad.
It's a man, if it's what I had, it's a forever thing. You think you're over it, and it's back. And it's gone. And it's back. All right, let's look at verses 9 through 13. This is number 5, the desire of Daniel. The desire of Daniel. We have the defeat of Jerusalem, verse 1. The desecration of the temple, verse 2. The demands of the king, verses 3 through 7. Number 4, the determination of the children. That's verse 8. And then number 5, the desire of Daniel. Verses 9 through 13. All right, let's look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love or compassion with the prince of the eunuchs. And so Daniel took a stand, but obviously he wasn't obnoxious about it because he still had a good relationship with the prince of the eunuchs, Ashpenaz. And so there is a right way to take a stand, isn't there? There's a right way and a wrong way. Now we have to be bold, but we got to mix love in there too and compassion. Otherwise, we do a lot of turning off and no one turns to God. Doesn't mean we compromise, because that never works. But it means we think before we speak to try to, you know, we're supposed to season our speech with salt, spiritually speaking. Salt preserves. It doesn't destroy, does it? Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. And I guess so, because if he disobeyed the king and things didn't work out, especially, he'd lose his head. So he was nervous about it. Who hath appointed your meat and your drink? For why should he see your faces worse liking or sadder than the children which are of your sort or your age, looking haggard and sad? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar. Now Melzar was the steward underneath of Ashpenaz, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel said, verse 12, prove or test thy servants. I beseech thee, I beg thee, 10 days, just give us 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat. Some say pulse is our beans, some say vegetables. Doesn't matter, because it's not meat. I guess. And water to drink. He said, just give us veggies and water. And he believed with all of his heart. Daniel believed with all of his heart. Hey, we're going to look better. Now that's faith. Here's a 14 to 17 year old that had that kind of faith. Melzar, I know our God. Able, he does not want us to eat something that's not kosher. He does not want us to drink this strong drink, this wine. So therefore, just give us veggies and water, and I prove to you how powerful God is. Wow. Then let our countenances, our appearances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance or the appearance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. Let's do a comparison. Let's do a case study. Take us four. After we eat veggies, drink water, and take the king's four after they have the pork chops and the strong drink, and let's just do an appearance test. You make the determination who looks better. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. And so he consented to them in this matter. Now, in order for Melzar to give in like this, he had a tremendous amount of confidence in Daniel and his friends already. He trusted them. So evidently, Daniel had not said or done anything that broke that trust, right? All it takes is one time. It takes quite a while to build a reputation that's God-honoring. It only takes one mess up, one major boo-boo spiritually, and folks are looking for that. They drag us all the way down just like that, just that quick. And then we got to build back up. So he consented to them in this matter, proved them, tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So it wasn't just four and four. I looked at those four and said, all right, all the rest of you guys, come on, let me look at you. None of them measured up to the appearance of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. None of them looked as good as they did. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse, beans or vegetables, took away the choice food. And so that's the desire of Daniel. That takes us through verse 13. I read 14 and 15. 14 through 21 is the deliverance of God. The deliverance of God. That's number 6. The deliverance of God, verses 14 through 21. We already read verses 14 and 15. By the way, Daniel and his friends were well educated in secular society, but yet they still put their faith and trust in the Lord. Now we have, you know, many of our children are in public schools. It's a secular society, not to say there aren't some godly teachers, teachers that know the Lord and love the Lord and go to church. Certainly there are in the public school. But even though Daniel was under the worst influences, he still stayed true to the Word of God. So that would tell me it's up to the parents and grandparents to keep our children focused on the things that honor God. Would you agree with that? Amen. Because remember, he was carried away. He's in another country, okay? He could have said, Mom and Dad, they don't know what I'm doing. I mean, out of sight, out of mind, I never believed all that religious stuff anyway, so I'm going to do what I want to do. No, he didn't do that, neither did the other three men or boys. They all stood firm for the Lord, even though they were educated in secular society. Faith doesn't have to be shelved in favor of secular education, whether it be as a child or even up in college or university level. Higher education does not have to kick faith out, though many that teach in these secular universities are faithless. A lot of the nonsense that we deal with in our society will find its roots in these secular universities, these liberal professors that teach all this nonsense. God said in 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. Them that honor me, I will honor. Psalm 119, verses 98 through 100, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, the old folk. Why? Because I keep thy precepts. And so the Word of God had first place in David's life. I know David sinned some big sins and fell, and God dealt harshly with him. But he was a man after God's own heart. So Daniel made some wise choices. Verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill. He gave them understanding. He gave them intelligence in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Or more accurately, God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams, to understand dreams and visions and give the proper interpretation. Didn't come out of Daniel all by itself. God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams and visions. Verse 18, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in. Do you remember how many days that was? Back chapter 1. 3 years. 3 years. So this has been going on for a while. And for 3 years, Daniel and his friends have been on this special diet. Not the king's diet. Well, at the end of the days, verse 18, the king had said he should bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed, he talked with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Or because of this, they entered into the king's personal service. He became their personal servants. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, some translations say wisdom of understanding, that the king inquired of them or consulted of them, he found them 10 times better. Now at this point, if they were 14 when they were carried away captive, they might be 17. At the very oldest, they would be 20 years old. And yet still, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers or the enchanters and all they that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus, which was the close of the 70-year captivity that Jeremiah prophesied in his prophecy, Jeremiah 25:11-12, and Jeremiah 29:10. Jeremiah 25:11-12, Jeremiah 29:10, when the 70 years was up, guess who was still, even though it wasn't Babylon anymore? Now you got the Medo-Persians, and yet still Daniel was in a position of high authority. Through all those years, he died, he was about 85 years old. That's how consistent Daniel was. Daniel stuck to his convictions. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. He determined in his heart. He made up his mind. He resolved that he would not defile himself. Secondly, he acted on his convictions. He would not defile himself, so he would not drink the king's wine, he would not eat the king's food. And then number 3, he worked out a solution in verses 12 and 13. He talked to Melzar. He said, test us 10 days. Just test us. Give it a chance. We'll have vegetables and water. You'll see. You'll see what my God can do. And so that's exactly what happened. And of course, Daniel was a young man who made wise choices. Daniel didn't care that he was different, did he? He didn't care. He was blessed because he wouldn't compromise. He didn't follow the crowd. He followed God. I've told children and this my whole ministry. It doesn't take a big man to go with the crowd of his buddies, guys he works with, and go out and drink beer with them. Does that take any courage? I mean, really, I'm talking to Christians. If we're going to live for the Lord and we're going to honor Him, now I don't want to just squeak by, and I don't want to live my life. I never have as a Christian. I never want to get to this point where I live my life asking the question, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, come on. If I only have... What's wrong with me only having one or two beers? What's wrong with that? Well, what's right with it? That's the question I want to ask in my life. I'm just telling you how I operate. What's right with this? How is this going to make me more like Christ? How is this going to draw me closer to Him? How will this make me a more effective witness for my Lord? And that's choices we have to make. And so ask the question. Try it sometime. What's right with this? Otherwise, we'll I'm sure your kids have done that. Oh, everybody at school gets to go, or everybody's doing it. Well, you're not everybody. You know, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my granddaughter, you're my grandson. And that's not what Christians do. We are to be distinctly different. We are new creations in Christ. Old things, that old stuff that everybody does, it takes no courage to go with the crowd, that's all passed away. Behold, in all things we are become new. So it takes more of a man to say, no, I don't do that anymore, I'm a Christian. Then it does say, oh, okay, yeah, I'm with you, I'm coming. Right? Okay. That was a free sermon. It wasn't even in my notes. All right, we're going to, rather than get into the second chapter, we're going to stop right there because that way we can begin fresh. And I will have I'm going to go ahead and, I could wait to chapter 7, or I could do it now. I'm going to give you a handout next time that compares chapter 2 to chapter 7. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. In chapter 7, he builds an image. There's things to compare, and we'll talk about that next week. I think I said chapter 7. That can't be right.
He said 7.
It is 7. Did I give you that? You don't have that yet, do you? Okay. All right. I'll give it to you next. Any questions, comments?
I think we can live our lives in front of our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and tell them how we feel when we see them doing things that we don't approve of or don't like. But you can't stay away from them.
You can't what?
We can't stay away from them.
No, I don't recommend that we totally stay away from them. Like, I wouldn't be a party to what they're doing.
No, that's not it. Some gifts opened up on Christmas morning that I would never have bought my children or grandchildren, but I didn't approve of them, and they know I didn't, but they just kind of smile and go on.
I know.